Good morning, Village.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to see you all in the sanctuary today. To those that are joining us online, we welcome you as well. Before we get to our announcements, everyone knows by now, we have a new routine. So we're going to take a few moments to get up and greet each other. And when we hear the music play, we're going to come back to our seats and have the announcements. So with that. So a few announcements, quite a few actually, so bear with me. First of all, after service, we're going to have a quarterly business meeting. So if you can, please stay after service. The Worship and Music Committee will meet on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. One of the big days of the year, the Chili Cook-Off is coming. Very competitive around here. That's on March 10. In the narthex, you will find we still need to have some help for the warm night. So thanks to those who've signed up to make food, but there's still a list of items that they could use for the program. You can find a list in the back, and please, if you do bring some of those items, bring them in by March 10. Don't forget we have Sunday school every morning, every Sunday at 9:45. We always try to have some coffee and snacks in the back for folks. I think a lot of us are still probably buzzing from last week's speaker. I think she was incredibly powerful. But part of why she was powerful and why it matters for our church is we've had this beloved community group that's been working for several years to help our church, to help our outreach in the community. And it's important work. So if anyone that is not presently a part of the committee is interested, please reach out to our co-chairs, Karen Woodson and Denise Miles. Don't forget in your bulletins, there are forms to order flowers for Easter. So don't forget about that. And the most important announcement, I almost forgot. Usually when we have guest speakers, we have bios that we read from. We're blessed today to have Reverend Stephanie with us. She needs no introduction. Don't be mad for not, reading your bio, but we know her and we are grateful for her and we love her. And so let's all be grateful that she came to give the word today. This is the day the Lord has made.
Thank you. morning, church family. There are many temptations we face in our lives together. We face the temptation of putting our wants above another's needs. We face the temptation of ignoring problems such as hunger, poverty, war, and disease, with the false hope that they will go away without our intervention. We face many temptations to stray from the path of our faith. We light this candle as a symbol of the light of Jesus Christ and our faith in his ability to help us resist the temptations of the world. Let us pray. Lord, help us to keep our feet moving, our hands outstretched, and our hearts open to you. As we journey towards the cross this Lenten season, keep us from temptation and help us to do your work in our world. Amen.
Village, it's time for us to share our prayers of concern and prayers of thanksgiving with one another. We will mute the service for those online for a few moments while we share our concerns in church. And with that, who has prayers they'd like to raise, concerns, things to share?
Let us look to the Lord. O God, our help from ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from a stormy blast, and our eternal home. Gracious, merciful, loving God, we thank you for this day, a day that we have never seen before. We thank you for health and for strength, and for the opportunity to gather once again to praise your name and gather in this assembly. We have so much to be grateful for. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough. Your mercies are everlasting, and your truth endures through all generations. We come today confessing, knowing that we, in spite of ourselves and in spite of our best efforts, may have fallen short sometime this week. We'll become knowing that you are forgiving God and that Jesus paid it all because we are not perfect. And we ask you to free us up for joyful obedience in the days to come so that we might serve you and your people even better and in the days to come. We come, O Lord, petitioning, intervening on the behalf of our neighbors, our friends who are sick, those who are going through family challenges, those who have lost loved ones. And we ask you, O Lord, to intervene in these situations as only you know how. We come, O God, with a word of praise on our lips for restored health, for birthday celebrations, and for the ability to just be in the house of the Lord one more time. And oh God, we are so thankful for this community called Village Baptist Church. And oh God, you know where we've been. You know where we are, and you know where we're going, and you know what we have need of. And you know that we are an in-between state, and we are waiting patiently and faithfully for your direction for this body. And we know, God, that somehow, soon and very soon, something new will break forth for this community, in this community, because we have a past where we know that you have been with us always and always. And we count it all joy and we say amen ahead of the blessings that are coming our way. And now, Lord, let's just put aside our problems, our concerns, and just focus on you and you alone. Your presence is here. We have felt it in the warm touch of our neighbors, in the smiles that we have seen. We know that you are here, and your Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. And now, O Lord, again, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. This hour is yours. Jesus is the star. And we lift up all these prayers, all these issues, and all these petitions in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
All right, it's time for the children's story. Yeah. What do you all think I'm going to talk about today? Well, that's not fair. You have an inside scoop. I usually try to look at the calendar, see what kind of big events are coming up. And we know February is Black History Month, and we can always talk about that. And we know tomorrow's President's Day, but I don't really want to go down that road either. You all don't know. Put your hands down. I'm not going to call on you. You already know that. I want you all to turn around and look at Miss Casey's shirt. That might give it away. Ooh. Yes. Yes, Valentine's Day. No, I think a couple years ago someone gave us a history lesson on that. So we're not going to talk about it, but what it got me thinking of was what Valentine's Day kind of is about. And kind of thought maybe we could bring it back to the church today. Did you all do something for Valentine's Day at school this week?
Yes.
Some. What'd you do?
So there's a party where we were celebrating Valentine's Day. We had cupcakes, and we had ice cream, and also everybody, including the. I'm trying to remember all of it, but everybody was like celebrating, and we went in the gym, and then we had a big party. And also, we didn't really have that much work since it was Valentine's Day.
That's it. I didn't even go. I played hooky. I guess my boss might be watching today, but I went to Avery Joe's Valentine's Day party too. Did you all do something similar to that? How many, grown-ups too, how many of us ate something sweet on Valentine's Day? Probably more than we could, might have. Did you all, who had a party? That's it, to be a kid again. So what it got me thinking about, though, was about love and just what is love? Because it's hard, and actually Jordan knows this. This is going to make him sound real smart. What kind of noun is love?
Abstract noun?
That's right. It's an abstract noun, which means it's hard for us to really define what it actually is, right? And love is hard. Love is hard to define because, you know, we can love cupcakes and chocolate, right? I mean, I love chocolate. And I can show love for chocolate by, like, buying it and eating it and buying it when it's on clearance and putting it in the freezer and eating it later. And then I keep showing my love for chocolate. But I also know I love my children and I love everyone here, right? And I can show love to my children, to people I love doing things. And that might look different than I don't buy my children and put them in the freezer or anything like that. The story just got kind of weird. And then God, you know, we love God and Jesus, but it's not even just, it's complex. It's so complex that, do you all want to guess how many times the word love shows up around in the Bible that we use, in the translation that we use? What do you think? A bajillion? And it's not quite that high. Does anybody out there know? Around, what do you think? Infinity would be great. That's true. That's like a whole nother lesson. All real numbers. See, my boss is listening. He knows. I know how to teach math. It's like 744 times or something like that. It's a lot of times because love is very important. And how we show love, we can do it deeper than giving cupcakes and notes to our friends. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read us five verses from the Bible that have to do with love. And so just so I know you're with me and we can think about love, because love is about, we can't really define it. We have to learn about like what it is, what it looks like, how do we show it. It's very complex. So every time I read one of these verses that has the word love in it, I want us to hug ourselves like this. Can you do that? Love. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Anita. Grown-ups can always participate. All right, I'm going to read you five short ones that we could probably work on memorizing maybe in children's church. The first one is pretty famous. It's John 3:16. Ready? For God so loved, you can say it with me if you know it, the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. All right, another one is 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. So that's a little more about what love is and how deep it is that God gave it to us by loving us simply. Here's another one. This one's real famous too. I think I might even have it on my wall somewhere. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love, give yourself a squeeze, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love never fails. I sort of ellipsed some there, sorry. All right, another one, 1 John 4-7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. I know, not chocolate. I was kind of disappointed to hear that myself. And then the last one, ready? Matthew 23:37-39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That one's actually out on our wall too. So maybe today during Children's Church, we can take a little walk around and see how many times love is referenced around the sanctuary. And we can think about the ways that we feel it. And just, you might not have even thought about how complex it is. And we can eat chocolate. All right, let's say a quick prayer. Then we'll watch Mr. Ron sing for us, and we'll go to Children's Church, and you get to come there with me too. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, please bless us all that are gathered here in Village today. Pray that we might come away understanding the complexity of your love and the acts of love that have come from God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Pray that we can see the acts of love that our young people provide for us, that we can show them love, that we can model what love means, and that we can walk and stand beside them as we learn about the complexity of such a simple word that's so much deeper when we really pray about it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Such bright faces. Anticipation. The song I will sing this morning is entitled Still I Rise. And it's in conjunction with the spirit of the celebration for the month of February. Dark are
Amen. Amen. I'm good. Can we give the music, Sister Delighty and Brother Hawkins, a hand to clap this morning in our ensemble? Praise the Lord for the music this morning. Oh, it's beautiful. I have missed you all so. I bring you greetings from the church that I'm currently serving at, which is Galilee Baptist Church. This is my second time being in worship today. I'm sorry. Am I getting ahead of myself? Hold on. Because I was just so excited about the music. We're going to get the scripture. But let me just say good morning, and then we're going to get it. Then we're going to have the scripture. But it's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm excited about the music. I'm excited to see you all here. We're going to do the scripture, and then I'll be back.
Aren't we lucky to have someone so enthusiastic to bring us the word this morning? And Ron, I've never said this to you before, but my granddaddy Arvell back in North Carolina used to love to sing in church when I was a kid. And every time you come up and sing, I think of my granddaddy, and I thank you for that. So today's reading is from the book of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days. Tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." May God bless his reading of this his holy word.
Amen. Right. Amen for the word. All right. Now, again, I'm so excited. Thank you for having me. I give honor to Pastor Joel in his absence, and I'm filling in for a brother. I don't know his name, but he fell ill, and so we're praying for his speedy recovery as well. Yes, he had COVID. Mr. Kane had COVID, and we pray for his speedy recovery. But I believe that God makes no mistakes, and there must be a reason for me to be here. Is there a word from the Lord today via Reverend Stephanie, I believe it is. And I have prepared with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. But again, will you please pray with me? Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. What hast thou to say to me? And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and our present and sure foundation. Amen. 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 Today's scripture has been read already for your hearing. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. And this comes from the lectionary. God bless the conveners and the persons who put the lectionary together. And preaching at Village is a joy because you follow the lectionary. And so we all have a rhythm and we all have a place. And we know that we are in the beginning of the Lenten season. And this is the suggested scripture for Lent. And so that's where I went when I was asked to preach. And I believe, again, that the Lord has a word for us from this scripture. So, again, when I invited the Holy Spirit to lead me into what to say, I started, of course, thinking about my own experiences. And I immediately went back to my childhood and many of the adages that were heard or sayings that I heard when I was growing up. Many, many adages from my parents, my grandparents, my neighbors, and the preachers. And one of those that came up was this: the devil, he stays busy. The devil, he stays busy. And I learned from them that it is true. The devil stays busy. The devil can get into little stuff, and the devil can get into big stuff. And I learned how to recognize, thanks to my parents and my elders and my preachers, what the devil looks like. And so again, in meditating on this scripture, I began to think about the places and the spaces that I've been over the 6.5 decades of my life. And I noticed and I began to think about how little we hear about the devil these days. I used to hear about the devil a lot when I was growing up, but we don't talk about the devil anymore. I guess we've gotten too sophisticated. We are just above it all. Let me preach. Thank you. I want an amen. You give me an amen, but let me preach. Okay, thank you. All right, but the devil is busy. The devil stays busy. And the devil is real. And how do we know? Because Jesus, in this scripture, had to deal with the devil. And we know that the devil, evil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, is still alive and moving and causing all kinds of trouble. You don't believe it? Turn on the news. Turn on your phone. Look through your feed and see what's happening out there. We began our Lenten season together on Ash Wednesday, the 14th of February. And the last time Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day occurred was 6 years ago. And so on the 14th of February, that was also the day, the 6th anniversary of the Parkland shooting. And how do we commemorate that horrific event? By another shooting that happened as a result of people celebrating the Super Bowl. The devil, he stays busy. He stays busy. You haven't heard a sermon on the devil, but we're going to hear one today because Jesus had to deal with the devil. And the devil is in the scripture. We're going to deal with this. The devil, he still stays busy. So here we are in Lent. And the purpose of Lent is to what? It's to reflect and to repent and to set right and to get right with God, to remember the heaviness and the weightiness
of what Jesus went through for us and the weightiness of being Christ-like, a Christian. If Jesus had to bear a cross, then we have to bear one too. If Jesus had to deal with Satan, then we have to deal with Satan too. And acting like the devil doesn't exist or evil is not around us, it's really, really a cop-out. And I'm talking to myself. One thing about preaching, I can't talk about you unless I'm talking about me. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory, which is why we keep trying to get it right and why Jesus lets us continue to get it right. Every day we have the opportunity to do better. So we're going to talk about it because there's always hope. Amen? Don't get quiet on me now. I'm not beating anybody up. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us as a collective. So here we are in the first week in Lent. And Jesus is, in our scripture for today, is telling us how to deal with the devil. So we got to get resisting the devil, dealing with the devil, back on our agenda. Somehow we have gotten cotton candy Jesus, and lucky rabbit's foot Jesus has taken the headlines. But if we look at who Jesus was and what Jesus really did, we know that that's not what Jesus was about. What was Jesus about? Bringing others along, dealing with the heaviness of society during his time, and bringing everybody along, trying to make it better for people. And the scripture elsewhere confirms this. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I'm not making this up, check it out when you leave. We know that our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Somebody say, the devil stay busy. You don't have to turn to your neighbor, but say it to yourself in your head, the devil, he stay busy. Yes, the devil stays busy. And so again, if we look at the scripture, can we put that back up there? If we just want to look at the, if possible, can we put the scripture back up there? Because I want you to, I'm not making any of this up. You see what happens, what's happening in this particular passage. I see several things. One thing I see is that even before Jesus encountered with the devil, he was what? Covered and anointed by God who sent him. So he did not go along. He was in good company already. He was going into this wilderness experience, into this time of challenge with the anointing of God. And as children of the Most High God, that would be you and me and all of us and followers of Jesus Christ, we are equipped. We are covered and with the blood of Jesus, again, because we have Jesus in our back mirror, and we are covered and we are well equipped to deal with the devil. We are never alone when we go to confront evil. The other thing that I see in the scripture is that he had a cousin. Somebody say, thank God for cousins. Cousins will go ahead of you. I have 20 first cousins. 20 first cousins. Yes, I do. And I know every last one of them, and I have a good relationship with all of them. And I can tell you right now, back in the day, if something went down, all I had to do was call my cousins. Now, all of us have gotten a little bit older, and so we don't move as fast as we did. But I got one right now who is a veteran of Afghanistan, and he will come. Okay, I'm just saying this. So amen, thank God for good cousins. And so he had his cousin, one who went before him and made a way and took some of the hits from him. So he had his cousin on his side. So he's not alone. He's in good company. We got God. We got his cousin. Okay, so we are never alone with our troubles. And I want to, it's not lost on me that his cousin John went out first. You see that? The cousin covered him, and the cousin even went out ahead. So somebody say, thank God for cousins. So we got God, we got our people. And the next thing I see is who sent Jesus into the wilderness. It was the Spirit. And why? Because he had to prepare. And again, I've never been in the military. I see Chris back there. I know some veterans in here. But I believe that you can't go into a big battle unless you prepare. Am I right, Brother Chris? All right, you got to train. You got to wax on and wax off, right? You got to train. And so God knew that Jesus was going to be up against some tough things. So he sent Jesus into the wilderness to prepare. And sure enough, in this wilderness experience, he had an encounter with the devil. And if you read some of the other gospels, you'll have a more detailed account of what that experience was like. But Mark, being very brief, says he just went in and he went out. But again, who else was there? He was in good company even still, because who was out there? The angels. These are angels waiting for him in the desert. And again, I'm thinking about my experience, and I believe in angels. I believe in angels. I believe my ancestors are still praying and looking over me. I believe their prayers are still in the universe for me. I believe it. I believe it. So we got angels watching over him while he is in this encounter. So we got God, we got his cousin, we got the angels who are in this thing with him fighting. I hope you get my point. Somebody say something. Is it landing? Is this making sense to you at all? Okay, great. All right. So it's in good company, dealing with the devil. And so I'm encouraged, and I hope you are too, that even in the spite of evil, evil is ever present. I don't want to go into why that is. That's a whole different thing. There's people that have written reams and reams of paper why evil exists. That's theodicy. I don't know, but I know it does. But I also know that good will triumph over evil. And I also know that we are either a part of the problem or we're part of a solution. And if we are who we say we are, then we should feel equipped to deal with evil. And we must, as a collective. What we turn on the news and we hear about people on these extremes that are talking and have taken Jesus and turned them into something that I hardly even recognize. So let me say, I believe that in this Lenten season, at least for me, I am asking God. I am walking slowly with Jesus through this whole thing to ask him to help me to be more authentic, to walk alongside Jesus every step of the way, to be more and more like Jesus, because we can do a little bit. We all have a little bit of Jesus in us, and we have got to do more. But in order to prepare for the enemy, we have to acknowledge that there is an enemy, and we have to practice. And we have to bring our forces with us. We are in a battle, and good folk who call themselves Christians got to be right. We got to call it like we see it. And we got to take what we have and enter into this engagement with God on our side, with the anointing that we have as called out people. We have our faith community. We have our blood relatives. And we have so much. We have so, so much. I will wrap up by saying I really needed Lent personally this year. I really did, because we do tend to get in our own heads, to think God is a personal thing. God is personal, but God is also corporate. And my prayer for myself and for you and for all of us is that we will have the strength to open our mouths, move our feet, write a check, take one on the chin, or go to the mat,
when, not if, but when the time presents itself. Again, I thank God for the opportunity to speak a word over you all. I hope you're encouraged that we can do this. It's entirely possible, because if Jesus could do it, then that means that we have the ability to do this as well. Again, we have each other, we have family, we have the abiding presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that alone can do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. Brothers and sisters, we are in good company. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we will have a song. We're going to sing In Christ Alone. You can find it on page 569 in your hymnal, and the words are also on the screen. And again, I'm liking this music this morning, so I'm going to stay up here, and I'm going to sing myself happy. Now unto him who is able to keep, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Come on, everybody. Sing hallelujah.
To our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
It's to our God.
Come
on, say every praise. Say every praise.
It's to our God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord.
Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah. To our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.